Destination Calcio website and app brings you 3 live games of Serie B. It's free as well every single week. And with that, Dan Cancian and Emmett Gates, the senior writers at DestinationCulture.com, have joined me, David Freeney, to get into the Serie B season preview. The favourites, we're all wearing different kits as well. Dan, you're wearing Palermo.
I am indeed.
So tell us a little bit about what Palermo can do to get up to the promised land.
What Palermo can do to get up to the promised land, get a manager who's made a living out of winning promotions. Oh, they got one, actually.
Super Pippo. He's there. And he's
the man himself.
Win. Yeah. You agree with that, Emmett?
Yeah. I mean, he's going for a hat-trick of Serie B promotions. You know, he took Pisa up last season, decided to drop back down into Serie B. So they've got the right man for the job.
Yeah, he knows. He knows his strengths.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's not just that he knows his strengths and he's such a good manager at winning promotion, as Emmett pointed out. But Palermo needed a lift last season. I know that he reached the playoffs, but they just could not get out of their own way. Genesi was a dead man walking, so to speak, from the moment he took the job. They never warmed to him. They never...
I mean, we were there, Dan, when they lost to Juve Stabia.
Yeah.
And they were dreadful. They were absolutely awful.
Yeah. Did they just run out of petrol, I guess? And Juve Stabia were no slouches. I mean, they had...
Yeah, but sure. I suppose when you consider what Palermo had spent last year, what Juve Stabia had spent...
Yeah.
If you looked at the game and didn't know who had spent what, well, you'd think Juve Stabia had spent the more
We had
money.
One club that spent and one club that didn't.
Well, that's them. But if you look at like the wages, the points metrics, I think Palermo were third worst in Serie B last season after Sampdoria and Salernitana.
Yeah.
Two clubs that faced off in the relegation playoffs. So
and three clubs you'd expect in the playoff promotion race.
Yes, you do. But also with Palermo, there is the fact that it's now 9 seasons since the last being in Serie A. You know, they're owned by a set of football group. We know that they're not universally popular, the owners. In Palermo, we spoke to fans, we spoke to a lot of people on the scene. And it's not just the case of they own City, therefore we're going to turn into a juggernaut in Serie B. But the investment, as Emma pointed out, is there and it just hasn't delivered yet. Yeah. And Dionisio never looked like getting the best out of the team. I think what they said in March, you said we are still searching for our own identity. In March, you can't be doing that if you want to win promotion.
Well, I guess that was after the transfer window in January, but we have to put it into context. Brescia's just gone out of existence. That's what happened to Palermo, and that's why they haven't been in Serie A for 9 years. Yeah. So Palermo fans out there, if you agree with us, let us know in the comments. But they were Serie D back in 2020, and what's his third year? And third year with Citigroup at the helm.
Yeah.
So now they've got the training facilities there. They're getting the infrastructure right. They've got some big players now. They've still got some of the core of last team's squad there. So I feel like they've got a good mix now with Pippo there. They've got the leadership. They've now got really good attackers. They've bolstered the defense as well. Okay, there's a changeover with the keepers. They need some time to gel, but they've got the win. 2-1 win first.
Yeah, I think they've got the best front two in the division.
Yeah,
Brunori and Joey Poggiampolo, they are superb. And they clicked immediately last season after Poggiampolo arrived from Venezia in January. You normally think they might need, a couple of weeks, maybe a month to gel. They hit the ground running straight away. There is a great partnership, a great understanding between the two. And by the sounds of it, they are a really good match off the field as well. Poggiampolo said in the interview with Gazzetta that he feels at home in Palermo. He's always felt welcome. It's never felt like the big morning striker coming in to take someone else's job, which I guess helps. And they are terrific, those two up front.
And you do kind of think if Palermo had signed Poggiampolo last summer, maybe it could have changed the course of their season. Obviously, coming in January, he had 9 goals in 14 games or something. Like,
and he got 9-9 to start off with.
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
And one game, I think.
Yeah, probably the one big gap on his CV is the fact that he has not scored in the playoffs. Did he score with Palermo? Of course, there was only one game with Palermo last season. I don't think he scored with Venezia in his previous two seasons either. He banged them in during the regular seasons. I don't think he scored in the playoffs. I may be wrong. I'll have to double check this. Probably should have done it. But I know that was the one thing that's always been sort of held against him.
What, like he's not a big game player?
Well, no, I don't think so. I just think at the end of the season, in the playoffs, he hasn't scored. I think it's natural because if you are so prolific during the season. By the time you get to the playoffs, whoever you're playing against, you're going to try and mark you out of the game.
Also, there's a different way to play in the playoffs because if you finish higher, you don't need to score.
Yeah, and there's so much more at stake. Yeah. There's a pressure and all the rest of it.
Yeah, we've got a series out there with four articles that were put on destinationculture.com. One of them is about the front runners, and it is Serie B analysis, Palermo and the big guns targeting the title. And in this Palermo side, there have been a couple of good additions. And again, I will say that they've kept the core of the squad, especially in that central midfield with Segre and Gomez. Ranocchia, one of the goals of the season.
Yeah.
It's in the top 11. If you haven't seen that, go and check it out on the app, the best 11 goals. But Palumbo coming in from Modena,
what a signing.
Is a big signing.
Yeah.
For me, that's it's a game changer for them.
Yeah, he's a great little player. I remember we went to, was it Modena Samp? We went the last year, David, and he was really good.
He was really good, yeah.
Like a number 10, ghosted in between the lines, gorgeous left foot.
He ran the show as well when we went to see Pisa Modena last season towards the end of the season.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a throwback. I don't think you can sort of like, it's not a player that you can say he'll just slot in and will do A, B, C. Sort of like you need to give him freedom. Yet the freedom at Modena, I'm interested to see whether he's going to get the same freedom under Inzaghi, because Pippo is very structured. His football is very structured and he's successful because it is structured. But, you know, we know in this day and age, players that sort of like stray outside the line are somewhat a rarity.
Yeah.
They can be too creative these days and not get minutes. But what a team they've got, especially that forward line.
I do think Palermo, we talk on the show about sleeping giants, but I do think Palermo are the sleeping giant. I think the
biggest city.
Yeah. Serie A needs them back, the Barbaro and its fall, fantastic stadium.
Yeah. I think there is also, it's also, we're at the point where Serie A is so, I mean, of course, Napoli, are there any Serie A champions, but Serie A is so tilted towards the north of Italy.
Yeah.
Having Palermo in, or anyone else for south for that matter, will too.
And it reflects on the map of Scudetti as well. They're all in the north and there's a flicker when you look at the bottom.
Yeah.
Now Napoli's got four, but Roma's and Lazio got a few in the eternal city, but there's five between them. There's one in Sardinia and that's it.
And of course, you know, by the time Palermo come up, you'll be able to go on our way there in Palermo by car because, you know, they're building the bridge over the...
That's right,
Of the Stretto, aren't they?
Yeah, get to Catania as well. Be good. Yeah. Should we turn our attention to one of their competitors? Palermo will be up against it. There's Venezia. This is the third kit. Well, the away kit.
That is a beauty.
It's beautiful. Look at this.
Yeah.
The long sleeve version. There's one with Chinar or Sinar, however you want to say that. They make spritzers. That's where the spritz is from. Veneto, Padova, that rivalry there. We've got a video coming out on that where we speak to a Venetian about how to make the best spritzers and what they prefer. But let's get to the football side of things. So Venezia now with another coach that knows how to get up to Serie A, Emmett, Giovanni Stroppa.
Yeah, exactly. Took Cremonese up last year by the playoffs. Again, like Pippo, he's dropped back down to see if he can get Venezia up. So it'd be interesting to see if he can do 2 years on the bounce. When you look at Venezia's squad, you think, you look at it, you think that Venezia team is better than the Cremonese team that he took up. So I think it bodes well for Stroppa.
There's a lot more raw talent. I love Dumbia. He's such a talent. Italy under 21 international, same with John Yeboah. So they've got that flair. They've also brought in one of the leading strikers from last season from Juve Stabia. He's the guy that got them to the playoffs. Of course, there was more to it with Guido Pagliuca, but still also Andrea Adorante is now the number 9 at Venezia. Saw him in the Coppa Italia a couple of weeks ago. We were there at the Penso and still, he was one of those guys that you want to bring in, 25 years of age, goal-scoring experience now, and Venezia banking on him.
And he was Adorante was very impressive, Dan, wasn't he, when we went to see them?
I think we discussed it in May, didn't we? I think we had a legitimate shot of being the player of the season. I don't think anyone expected him to be that good.
He and Yemello.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, With guys like Stroppa, with guys like Inzaghi, there is a particular reason why they would want to stay in Serie B. And I guess it comes with the experience of going up. We know that Pippo has been up with your Salernitanas and your Milans and
Benevento as well.
Gone back to make fare la gavetta in you earn your stripes in the lower leagues. He left Milan. I think he went to Venezia, didn't he, in Serie C at the time.
Yeah.
Back when they were sort of coming back, rising from the ashes again. So many clubs have done that now. And also Stroppa has been up and down, and two very good players in their day, Italian internationals, Stroppa and Inzaghi both going through Milan as well in the Berlusconi days. So now we see these guys with playing experience. They've won titles. They've now won titles as coaches, but in the Serie B and Serie C. And Stroppa, and we also what happened to him last season, it's happened to him before at Cremonese and also at Monza. He got Monza up and he got Cremonese up, but now he's, you know what? I'm going to stay in my lane. It's Serie B. My role is to develop these players that are coming through at the next level. Is that what they're doing?
I think there is definitely an element of that. With Stroppa, we were in Spezia, David, you and I, when for the player finals, and in his press conference, I thought it was very telling how before he allowed himself to celebrate, he said, this promotion is the one that's annoyed me the most because they sacked me. And by the time they hired me again, you know, I left the team that was in the top three. And by the time I came back, we were seventh or eighth. And had I not been sacked, we would have gone up directly.
Yeah, it could have been automatically promoted.
It could have been automatic.
Save themselves the drama.
Me felt sort of, not so much that I'd fly, but it was definitely him setting his stall out. You know, like it felt like he was saying, if we're going to do this in Serie A, if I'm going to stay on, I'll have to do things my way. And presumably he wasn't allowed to do things his way. And Venezia, with all due respect to Cremonese, Venezia are not so much a sleeping giant as much as Palermo, but they are such a project for
what. There's probably bigger ambition in Venice than there is in Cremona.
There is something about them, isn't there? Like, if you can be the man who brings them back in Serie A and keeps them there.
Yeah.
Well, they're so well followed around the world. Everyone sort of has a soft spot for Venezia, unless you're a part of a supporter or maybe Cittadella Udine or someone close by. But everyone likes, you think of Venice as a place.
Yeah.
I mean, it is an amazing city.
Yeah, it's unique. I think when you manage, I think Venezia is probably one of the few clubs in the world where you manage them and you don't just manage the club. You're sort of like an ambassador, for want of a better word, for the city.
The ceiling is definitely higher in Venice than it is in Cremona. You know, David, we went to Cremona a few years ago. I think there's nothing to take you to Cremona, all due respect, unless you're going to see Cremonese. Yeah.
Or you love violins, one or the other.
Oh, yeah, true. They're famous for that, aren't they?
Yeah, that's where it's from. So Cremona, it doesn't have that vibe that Venice does, or your Lake Comos, or your Romes, or your Florences.
On a more serious note, there's also the fact that like, some managers are better at taking teams up than they are at keeping them up.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, there is a large element in that. Yeah. You know this, Dan. In every league across the world, there are managers that get teams up and then they can't actually cut it at the top level. Yeah. So they drop back down. Yeah. And their job is to get teams up and then they basically hand the keys to someone else.
Yeah.
So I think Stroppa and Inzaghi are maybe examples of that, especially Pippo, because his Serie A record is not great compared to his brother.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I thought it was telling last year, I think in January, he spoke to Sky Italia and he said that he felt like he was a much better manager than being a Pisa helped him develop, both in the way he manages and the way he sees football. And he said, you know, I don't think that being successful necessarily means being in Serie A. And he said the same thing last week, because obviously he's been asked a lot about whether he feels like sort of like took a step down by staying in Serie B after taking Pisa back to Serie A. And he said that, you know, for him, the division doesn't matter. What matters to him is football, like getting his idea of football across his players. I thought that's very interesting because, you know, you can say, oh, yeah, you know, a lot of managers might be saying, well, I've got a better offer. You know, everything is, you know, is honky-dory down here. I decided to do that. But he's honest enough to say, well, look, I would love to manage in Serie A, but the division per se doesn't necessarily matter.
Yeah. And I think it was smart from his perspective, because let's be honest, if he gets Palermo up, again, as we said about ceilings, the ceiling's going to be a lot higher with Palermo than it will be with Pisa.
Yeah.
You know, his budget's going to be bigger if he gets him to Serie A. You would like to think they would give him a crack in Serie A once he gets him there. Maybe, you know, work towards the middle of the table and whatever. So I can see why Pippo did it.
And also to add to that, I suppose you could argue, what's the hardest job? Keeping Pisa in Serie A, which, let's face it, is a free hit.
It's a free hit, but also you could be sacked by October, November.
That's what I mean. Because I think there's going to be more pressure on his shoulders to take Palermo up than there would have been to keep Pisa up. Even though he did an amazing job with Pisa, we all saw it last season.
I think it's It does have a ceiling on it, though. Palermo really doesn't.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Yeah,
it's a massive city.
I'm not suggesting for a minute that Pisa. I'm sure the Pisa would put up a great fight to stay up. But what I'm saying is, like, I think you have almost more pressure when you're trying to take a team up, particularly a sleeping giant such as Palermo, than you will do if you're just trying to avoid relegation.
Nobody really expected Pisa to go up last year. You know, we kind of overachieved. Yeah. So now, if he had stayed with them, it's like, well, if he gets them relegated.
I mean, Pisa finished 5 points above relegation zone the previous season with a negative goal difference. No one thought they'll do what they did.
Yeah.
He's been through more clubs in the past 5 or 6 years than Emmett has on a standard Friday night.
let me tell you, that is a lot of that's a lot of
Benevento, Brescia, Regina, Salernitana, Pisa and Palermo. And that's since 2021. So that's the amount of clubs he's been through in that time. He started his managerial career, of course, 2014 in the banter years in Milan.
He had a season in Milan, was it? Or was it two?
I think it was just the one. Just and then the he had a couple at Venezia. So he's gone from Serie A to Serie C. They got them up. So he is one of those coaches. He's like a Gattuso for Italy. He's there for the inspiration. He's not necessarily
I think
he's come along as a coach in that decade.
But I think he's a much better manager than Gattuso, personally. It might just be me.
And who knows? We could see people in charge of the Azzurri at some point in the Nazionale. So we'll see. But it's going to be fascinating.
Stropper off sticking him up front. That's right.
Simone as well.
We need a striker. They need a big coach. And so do these clubs in Serie B. It'll be really interesting to see what happens between Stropper and Inzaghi this season. There's going to be some back and forth between the big wigs in Serie B. Another club is Monza, who have just come down with Venezia. And I feel like they've got the strongest squad at this stage before the window closes for the transfers, because you've got Italian international there in Andrea Colpani in the last 18 months. Then you've got Matteo Pessina, who scored a couple of goals at the Euros to get Italy across the line there, was one of their pivotal players in 2021 when they won the Euros. And you've got just other experienced players. Cadebalde's still there.
Yeah.
You've got Danny Motta, who's... he's been great for them over the years. Bidindelli's still there. They've got a pull at Monza. And again, it's a project that sort of came from nowhere. They'd never been in Serie B until
2021.
Yeah. Now that, you know, they've been up to Serie A. They also, when Berlusconi was still around before he passed, he was talking about trying to get them into Europe, becoming a bit of a powerhouse. And they've got the new ownership now, which we've also spoken about with the podcast about Silvio Berlusconi and the dynasty. So if you haven't seen it, go back and watch it on our YouTube channel. And it feels like they still have a project there. And with new ownership, there must be new ambition. And the side still reflects that to me. They're starting 11, especially. We've got that. And we've got all the 11s in these pieces. And this is in the same one as the Palermo and Venezia piece. And when you look at this 11 and you look at also new signings, Obiang and Galazzi. They've got Galazzi from Brescia. Obiang's come over from Sassuolo. Still got Armando Izzo. Bidindelli's there, new keeper in Demba Thiam. And there is ambition there. And I really think they're probably one of the sides to beat.
I think Thiam's an excellent signing.
Yeah.
Very good last season. Yeah, very smart piece of business. I see where you're coming from with Monza, but I feel like I may be wrong on this, but it feels like a project that has gone stale a bit. Like, they got to Serie A and last season they literally went down without...
They were under the radar last season because they did nothing.
Yeah.
Except just cop goals.
They went down without a fight.
Yeah. I think when Silvio... Obviously, Berlusconi, the family, media said buying Monza was because Silvio wanted to get back into football. But once he died, I kind of said to myself... Because the rest of the Berlusconi family, they wanted to get out of football for a long time.
They were not.
So once Silvio died, I'm like, Monza will, as you said, go steal, because there's no one that actually wants the club on the books. There's no investment. There's no whatever. But I said to you, we were somewhere in Italy last year and we watched Monza. They were getting tanked in the early kickoff on a Sunday. But I said to you, if they keep many of the same players next year, they're good enough to go back up. And they have kept most of them.
They've made money as well, because they sold Daniel Maldini to Atalanta.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, as we said, football's not played on paper. On paper, they look good enough.
But also, I think there is more to that than just going back up, because then you can become a yo-yo club. Sure, you're good enough to go back up.
Yeah.
But what else is there? Is there a project to, like, you know, consolidate when you're back? Like, for example, I think the likes of Sassuolo have a lot much of a bright, much more of a brighter future than Monza, because you can see them having. I think the Monza's issues has been short-term thinking over the last maybe 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah.
I was genuinely excited when they came to Serie A because, you know, I thought, obviously, you know, Berlusconi was never going to repeat what he did at AC Milan, but there was a sense of, you know, something is happening here. And I think also partly with that is Monza just exist, sort of like just consolidate. Berlusconi's never been one for consolidation. He's always been one shooting for the stars. So I think that maybe there was an element, sort of like a clash of culture there.
We also have to remember, it's not just Berlusconi. Adriano Galliani's still there.
He's back at Milan.
He's back at Milan as a consultant.
He actually left though? Because the talk is about him going.
Yeah.
But he is still known as the Monza CEO. Now, whether he's leaving or not, I'm not sure. Yeah. Maybe we need a statement from the club. But still, if they, that shows if he still stays at Monza, or maybe he'll consult between the two. Who knows? There's not much of a distance. If you've never been to Monza, it's about a 20-minute drive north of Milan. But if he stays, surely that is ambition for the club that they want to go back up. And I guess if he leaves, it doesn't mean they don't have the ambition. It just means that maybe there's a new mindset.
Yeah, but again, you know, football has changed a lot since Galliani was pulling the strings, you know.
He got them to Serie A.
He did. So. He sure did, yeah. Maybe the real plot twist is he goes to Milan, he gets Paolo Fonseca's number, he goes back to Monza, and then he gets Paolo Fonseca in.
I think there's better chance of taking Nesta to Milan and making him coach there, the ex-Monza coach. So,
well, if Milan's performance against Cremonese is anything to go by, Milan will play Monza in Serie B next year.
Yeah.
Hey, look, if we have Milan in Serie B, you can watch them live on the BC TV
every single week.
Stranger things have happened, to be honest with you.
Oh, it'll be a good away trip to Carrarese, I think, for Milan. Milan supporters there, get about, what, 30, 40 of them in there in the stands. Let's change to Spezia, who lost the playoff final to Cremonese. And we should actually mention Paolo Bianco is in charge of Monza, but now to Spezia, who have still got Luca D'Angelo as coach, one of the only remaining coaches. And I feel like they're a little bit weaker than they were. Obviously, you lose Pio Esposito.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they can replace his goals because he got, what, 19 last year?
Well, Vlahovic is there now.
Yeah.
Vanya.
Vanya Vlahovic.
No relation to Dusan.
Still Serbian, and he's more of a sits just behind the striker, maybe on the left side of the attack. And he's come over from Atalanta's
under 23s.
He was on the bench for the senior side under Gasparini, and then he did most of his damage in the under 23s.
Spets have got history going for them though, because in the past 10 years, I think it's been on 9 occasions one of the teams that made to the playoffs and didn't come up.
We'll go up the next year.
Went up the following season. And Spezia did themselves. I think they lost the losing finalists and then they went up the following year. I realised Spezia last season. I thought they were brilliant. But we said this when we went to watch them against Samp and then when we went to see them in the playoffs. There was a feeling they were running out of steam. And I do wonder whether they're now really tired psychologically as well as physically. Because when you play 10 months and then you don't go up. And they were favourite to go up because, you know, they drew away against Cremonese.
They just needed a draw at home.
Just needed a draw at home, exactly. And they lost. They came apart. The wheels just completely
They were 3-0 down. They did come back in the last 10 minutes, but only because they had the magic of Pio Esposito up front to get that goal back. They scored within 60 seconds after that, and the hype was back. But it felt like it was just the crushing. It was hope that crushed you because, you know, it always is the hope that kills.
Yeah.
When you're 3-0 down, you get back to 3-2, and then, you know, it's not Liverpool, Milan and the Champions League here. It happened where Cremonese were able to hang on and they went into overdrive when it came to stoppages in the game and hacking players down and they got the job done. And that is the difference between Cremonese and Spezia, is that Cremonese under Stroppa, they had that sort of leadership to hammer home the result.
Yeah.
You know, take legs, do what you need to get up to Serie A. Just to think, like, the 5 minutes of football is the difference between... And we've seen it before with Bardi and Cagliari.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that is difficult to come back from because, you know, it's...
The psychological effect that
have... You can only go to the well so many times.
Yeah.
Well, they've got Artistico up forward. Zarkovsky's still there, who's been floating between Serie A, Serie B. He's very creative. They have Salvatore Esposito in midfield, who's their free kick taker.
Yeah.
So he's still... There is still quite a good team there.
Yeah.
They're boosted with Cistana from Brescia. And they also have... The young Milan midfielder on loan, Christian Comotto, he was part of the Milan World friendlies tour, went down to Perth in Australia and then through Asia. So they will, and this is the beautiful thing about Serie B, we will be able to see a lot of these youngsters that you would never usually see come on for Milan or Inter, whatever we saw with Pio Esposito last year. They're going to get minutes. Yeah. So stick also, with us this season. You're going to see a lot of youngsters.
Spezia would be an appealing, if you are a youngster, like Spezia is a club that appeals to you because, as you said, you've seen what Pio Esposito's done, you've seen what his brother has done. So you're thinking, okay, I can go there, I fancy my chances. Yeah. There is a structure there to bring the best out of young players. And D'Angelo, I think, did a brilliant job last season. He was my manager of the season because of the way there's turning to the markets and spending big. Spezia spend relatively big for Serie B standards. But the reliance of like on loan markets and getting young players in and get them to gel and to buy into his football philosophy is very difficult to do, particularly in a league where, you know, literally a draw can be the difference between going up missing all the playoffs.
Yeah.
I suspect it's a beautiful city as well. We went there 2-3 times last season.
And it's a cracking place to play football. The Pico is a beautiful stadium. Yeah. It's small, but it's compact. Yeah. It's modern facilities.
Yeah. Flying to Pisa to get there. Yeah. Carrara's down the road. And then you're on the other side of the Cinque Terre, you've got Genoa and Vito Centella as well, which we'll get to.
Some tremendous Japanese food in Spezia.
Oh, yeah.
Nippon Street.
Nippon Street's lovely. Oof. Shout out to them. And let's go to Empoli, who were relegated from Serie A. They have started the season quite well with a win. Popov, no one knew who he was. He scored a brace on the weekend, a couple of goals to sort of make sure that they got all 3 points at home over Padova. They've got Fulignati, who's quite a good keeper. He got Cremonese to Serie A. They brought in Curto, Biladinelli, Iñakiti. We've also got Carboni, Ilie, the Romanian playmakers there. Yeah. And they've brought back Steven Spendi, the twin brother of Christian that plays for Cesena.
So and they spent big on him as well. It was like $2 million to bring him back. And for Serie B, that's big coin.
Yeah, I mean, for Serie B, you're talking about, you know, world record fee kind of thing. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Well, they had to get rid of some players. Obviously, Marianucci went to Napoli.
Yeah.
So they've made money. And this is the thing about Empoli. They're kind of like an Udinese, aren't they? Where they always want to make money. And this is where they do quite well. So Marinucci, nearly £8 million to Napoli. Fazzini, who's gone to Fiorentina. We've got, they sold Goklikidze, the Georgian defender, to Udinese. And one for me, which I was quite, you know, raised eyebrows, Liberato Cacace, the Italian-New Zealand defender, has gone to Wrexham.
Yeah,
so he's part of that project now.
Saint of the teams.
Yeah.
Going to Wrexham for $2 million.
They're in the Serie B of England now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Wrexham still?
Yeah. I just hope that if anyone is listening out there from Netflix or Disney Plus or Amazon, other streaming services are available, please do not come up with Welcome to Empoli because no one is going to watch it.
No Welcome one to wants the Castellana. Yeah.
Please, no.
Well, maybe don't focus on the stadium, but then again, the race course in Wrexham is a disaster. So,
sorry, just to say, on Empoli, joking aside, I think Empoli are the sort of team that just know how to win promotion. It's just, if you look down the years,
they've got that tradition. And they got Guido Pagliuca, who got Juve Stabia.
Exactly. Yeah, they know how to win promotion. And, you know, they may struggle once they're in Serie A, but if you have to put money on a team to finish top four in Serie B, they'll be on your list every single day.
Empoli have now become my definition of a yo-yo club.
They are.
They always just seem to be bouncing around between Serie A and Serie B. Yeah.
Empoli remind me of, I think it was either Vicenza or Perugia in the mid to late 90s. They will come up.
Yeah, then down.
Go straight down and then dominate Serie B.
I love Ciccio Tavano and Macaroni, that partnership they had.
Tavano
should have been in that 2006 squad, but he should have won the World Cup, Tavano. And he retired like 3 years ago. Carrarese as well. So let's continue on with our Serie B forecast and preview for the season. We're going to get into Sampdoria because they're not a front runner. Dan and Emmett, I think you'll agree.
No, absolutely not.
They've already lost one. Well, their only game they opened at the Stadio Luigi Ferraris. They lost 2-0 at home to Modena. I don't think it sets the tone. They do have a new coach. They've got Massimo Donati. They got beaten by their former coach from last season. I think it was coach number two. They got sacked on their way down.
There's plenty of choices there to be met.
I think we were coach of Sampdoria at one point last season.
Well, I think they brought back the A team at the end with Evani and Reto Mancini on the speed dial. So they did get relegated. They got handed the lifeline. They're back. There is a refreshing kind of vibe and hope around the Sampdoria faithful. They're happy to be there. They did win two games against Salernitana. It's sad to see Salernitana go down to Serie C. But Sampdoria, they are there. They're probably, arguably, the biggest club in the league in terms of followers around the planet.
I don't think anybody would argue with that.
And they do have a history, 79 years. They've never been to Serie C. They've sort of walking that tightrope. They've been able to keep their balance just. So what is going to happen with them this season? Because they haven't brought in a super striker by any name, stretch, or anything. They've got Massimo Corda still there. New coach, though. New philosophy, is it?
I mean, I wrote about it last week. I generally think, considering what Samp went through in the last 3-4 months of last, well, all of last season, but especially like with the playoff and the drama and Brescia, and I generally think mid-table is about as good as they can hope for. Yeah, if you look at the manager, Donati has no real genuine experience in Italian football. You know, he was managing in Greece. He was managing in Uzbekistan or wherever. Like, he's cutting his teeth in Serie B with Samp, as you said. They brought in Liam Henderson, but I generally think mid-table is about as good as they can hope for. I'm not expecting... And probably after what Samp went through, their fans would just want for stability, mid-table.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's a case of consolidate if you can. Just show some degree of competence in at least some facets of the game, on or off the pitch. Sampdoria are a mess. And I mean, yes, Pirlo, Sutil and Semplici last season did not cover themselves in glory for a variety of reasons. But you can't look at issues on the pitch and ignore the issues off the pitch. The issues on the pitch are directly linked to the issues off the pitch. And the club is a club that is rudderless, and it's been rudderless for a while. It's all well and good to say we are Samp, we are big, we are massive, we won the league under, you know, with Mancini and Bialy, we were the club of the 90s. And then it's like, you look at the way they signed players last season, in January and in the summer. It was like the proverbial, you know, supermarket trolley dash after you've had 9 pints. Just grab whatever you can get. You get like a bit of, you know, tomato sauce along with shower gel, and then you got you're asked to be cooking a meal. You just cannot do that. It's madness. Let's get Coda and Tutino. Great. Let's furnish them with the midfield. But none of them can pass the ball to one another.
Yeah. They've let go a couple of players as well.
They went through what? Some faces in. 5 goalkeepers last season or something like that.
Yeah. And they spent big. For Serie B, they spent big. I think they spent, what was it? 7 million, 8 million.
Which has come back to sort of, you know, burden them with the fact that now they can't, even if Donati wanted to get rid of some of the players, they won't be able to get rid of them because they're on higher wages than they will be now the Serie B clubs.
Yeah.
And some of them are just not very good, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, let's just clarify one thing. Massimo Donati is the new coach. I'm not sure if he's ever like done a stopover on a plane in Uzbekistan, but I don't think he's coached there.
But he may have
been speculating that.
Yeah. He may have done because he played for Celtic, and Celtic play
some of the qualifiers.
Champions League qualifiers in far-flung destinations. Yeah. So
Donati's brought in Jordan Ferri, who is a French midfielder from Montpellier. Marvin, I think it's Chuny, the way that the little accent on the C from Rubin Kazan, and Liam Henderson is the big one. The hopes are around him. He scored in the Coppa Italia, so there is a bit of hope, and he brings that attitude, the grinta, that more aggression in the midfield. He's
got
around,
experience. Yeah. Is it like sixth Italian side
eight,
now?
Might be the eighth. Yeah, not sure. We'll have to.
I just think there was some doubt when you look at the team, and of course, we are no longer in an era where you can name players from like the goalkeeper all the way to a centre forward because teams, you know, change or not. But if you can't even think of like what their starting 11 looks like, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
And that was the case with them last season. Donati needs to settle on 11. But the reason why they couldn't do it last season is because Pirlo had his signings, Sutil had his signings, and Semplici had his players in. So I think going back to what Emma was saying, they need a season of consolidation, like mid-table mediocrity, which would be a step forward in this case.
Yeah, there isn't going to be any dreams of the playoffs promotion. And even if they did, what Samp are going through and the ownership want to sell the club, promotion actually would be such a bad thing because they're a mess behind the scenes. They need a proper structure in place. So as Dan said, as I said, mid-table stability and then build on it for next season.
How long do you give Donati?
Oof. I mean, they gave Pirlo 3 weeks last season.
Yeah.
Surely they won't do that again to get rid of a coach that soon. Just say they lose every game in the first month.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, you've got to give a coach time.
Because if you look at their fixtures, they don't have an easy start at all. Modena was probably one of the easiest games.
Well, come on. Modena has strengthened. I think they've got a better team, a better squad than Sampdoria.
I completely agree. But first game of the season at home, you're thinking, I'm not saying it's a gimme, but it's not an impossible task.
Yeah. Because they're away to Sudtirol
this
week, and then the following week, they've got Cesena away.
They've got Cesena. They've got two back, sort of, they go back to back.
We are showing both of those, Sudtirol, Samp, and Samp Cesena, both on the DCTV app.
Yeah, like that's a tough start.
It is. It's a difficult start for them. And that's what I'm saying. You know, if Donati doesn't hit the ground running, I'm not expecting him to win the next four games, but he needs points on the board and quickly.
Yeah, well, look, Massimo Donati is a big job for him. The weight of expectation is there in Genoa. The pride, I mean, the going down to Serie C, obviously, is a massive blow. Yeah. And we were there during the playoffs. We were there during the season to see them, but also away from home, we saw how they played away. I think maybe that there's less pressure when they play away, so maybe they'll get a result in Bolzano this weekend.
Even after everything that happened, they've sold 15,000 season tickets.
The passion is there for the fans.
It's something up around 20,000 now.
Like, the support is never going to waver. Like, it's always, they're always going to be there. But as you said, right. With support comes enormous pressure.
Yeah, and some players can't handle the pressure.
No.
So are we thinking mid-table? Are we talking 8th, 12th, somewhere in between?
I would say between 12th and 10th.
I'm going 14th.
Okay, and just to close out the Sampdoria section here in this episode, Liam Henderson is their best transfer in? You agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now just going back to how many clubs, it was 6, so you were correct. Can you name them all, Emmett?
Bari? No. Verona, Empoli, Palermo?
Yes. They were at Bari.
He was so Bari. Many have we got?
So you got four. Two left. One in just a bit south of Bari. You know your geography?
South of Bari. Lecce.
I need to bring out, it is Lecce. I was going to bring out my red card. And then it's Samp. Yeah, so there's 6. So Liam Henderson, and he is that maverick. Is he the first Scot for a long time to come over to Italy and play? He was there before Aaron Hickey, obviously.
Yeah, he was the first. He was the trailblazer.
The trailblazer of the current way. Yeah, the Scottish players.
Let's move on. Relegation candidates. Reggiana, I think they will struggle. I think a couple of us have picked them for relegation this season. Yeah. They've lost Vergara. He's now got minutes. He debuted for Napoli in the seniors against Sassuolo. So that's a big loss for them. He's their best playmaker last season. They've still got Gondo and Girma.
Yeah.
So they're looking okay. But again, it's about the overall performance of all the parts in the machine. And I don't think Reggiana, I think they're going to struggle.
I think they do. Yeah, I think they got... They put off the great escape last season. They went through in the winter, they won one game out of 12.
Well, they counted on Cittadella and they sort of just fell off a cliff, didn't they?
Yeah. I think in Reggiana's case, it was just teams that were worse than they were.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They've now been open to find three teams that are worse than them.
Yeah, well, that's all it is now, isn't it? And Matteo Rova, they got him from Sudtirol, so we'll see how he goes. Yeah. He'll probably play at left midfield, Papetti and Quarantas.
I suppose Dionigi, like their manager, has got quite a bit of credit in the bank because he's hardly put a foot wrong since he came in last season. You know, he's kept them up. And I know that...
Great striker in his day.
Yeah. Football might not be thrilling to watch, but it was effective in the second half of them, like the back end of last season. But as you said, eventually you're going to run out of luck, I suppose.
Yeah, if you don't have the depth. Porto Novi is there as well, we should say. Great midfielder.
Yeah.
Very hardworking, tenacious in the midfield. Now that we've spoken about Reggiana being potential relegation, Vito Centella, Padova, Avellino and Pescara are up. Dan, did any of those get a result on the weekend?
Only Vito Centella got a point. Pescara looked okay against Cesena, then they just didn't have the legs to stay with it. Avellino lost as well. Padova lost away from home.
And if you're Argentinian, you'd love either Pescara or Vito Centella, especially Antella's shirt is that...
Yeah, the Alba Celeste, blue and white.
Out of those four, though, I reckon Vito Centella may go down. If push came to show, I'll probably back Avellino and Pescara to stay up. I think they bought well in the summer. But it's just so difficult, isn't it? We said a bit.
Well,
such fine margins.
Entella brought in Ben Ali, who played with Bari last season. He's been everywhere. Crotone. He's been also in the northern sides. He's Manchester born. Plays for Libya. He's international football. He's been around. So he's around that 30 years old mark now. They also have Fumagalli's coming on loan from Como, helped them get up to Serie A. Russo is up forward, Colombi in goals, and they've kept a fair few of their Serie C players that helped them get up. So we'll see how they go. But again, favourites for relegation.
Yeah, I think so.
And moving on, we'll go to Avellino. It's great to see Tony Soprano's side in Serie B.
Yeah.
Got a couple of good players there. Andrea Favilli, Gennaro Tutino up
forward.
They're
well.
Yeah. Roberto Insigne. Yeah,
they are a big club. When you think about it, particularly the catchment area, I know there's like obviously good Naples and you go Salerno, Benevento,
yeah.
But they're still a reasonably big club. And
they've got Lorenzo Simic, who played with Bari, scored the winner against Palermo at the San Nicola when I was there last season. Stoppage time winner.
Passionate fans. You would, if they're going to survive, they need to take points at home.
Yeah.
Use the crowd.
Biancolino in charge there again. Yeah, use the crowd. And Avellino was the destination for the final of, was it Juventus Fiorentina?
1990. Second leg.
So if you haven't booked your trip to Avellino yet, you know why now if you're a Juventino or Fiorentina fan to go there.
I don't think any Fiorentina fans will go in anytime soon, but maybe if you're Juve.
Let's go to another side that's come up. We will look at Padova because they've just signed Kevin Lasagna.
Yeah.
They've got two quite distinguished attackers there. Papu Gomez, who won't play until October.
Yeah.
Because of his 2-year ban. But Lasagna's there. He did okay at Bari. A couple of good goals last season.
He put a shift in. Lasagna, that's what you can never fault him for. He'll always run the channels. His work ethic, you can never question. Maybe the goals of maybe... You know, he's not as prolific as he used to be, but I'm looking forward to seeing Papu at Padova. Always been a big fan of Papu. And I still think, even despite the 2-year ban, he can do damage in Serie B.
Yeah, Andrea Letti in charge as well. So a coach that I guess he's been under pressure because Padova, they were the best team overall in their group of Serie C last season. They had Vicenza as their main rivals. And of course... the fan protest, which Dan covered. If you haven't seen that, go and check out the very beginning of Destination Calcio. The genesis, one of the books, is Dan going to Padova and interviewing some of the ultras and telling us those stories when he got back. And it was fascinating from last season. One of our best viewed pieces.
One of the best stadiums in Italy, you would say.
That's the issue, isn't it, Dan? That Padova's stadium, there's a little bit of controversy, we'll say. Well, what happened was... The home ultras boycotted home games, and they would only travel for the away games for Padova. And I'm not sure if that's going to continue this season.
Part of ultras and sort of some organized fan groups will continue because they feel that they are making a stronger point by staying away, even though now they're back in Serie B. They feel that abandoning their protest now would be a case of foregoing their principles in favour of success. Success obviously being the fact that they're back in Serie B. But yeah, Diego Gagno is
it's a monstrosity.
It's not just a monstrosity. I think it may well be the worst ground there is in Italy because it's in the middle of nowhere. You cannot reach that ground by public transport. I walked back into the old town part and it's about a 55 minutes walk. And it was... And it was still faster than getting public transportation.
It is all about that experience, and a lot of the stadiums are built 100 years ago, Italy needs time to catch up. There are issues with the Euro 2032 stadium selections. You know, that we might lose them, but slowly they're getting there. There's a lot of issues with Italian stadiums. But let's go to Pescara, who they opened Serie B last Friday night at the Stadio Adriatico on the Adriatic coach right there. The Dolphins, they have Vivarini in charge. They brought in Sebastiano De Planche in goal. He was with Palermo last season. They have Sgarbi on loan from Napoli up forward. They still got a lot of their side from Serie C that helped them get up. They brought in Giacomo Olza and an immediate impact with that equaliser from long range against Cesena. Cesena too good though on the night. And Graziani also making the step up to play with him. Cordoba is a new addition. And Vivarini, the chances of Pescara staying up?
I think he'll stay up. I think I think Vivarini is, you know, his experience at this level, he knows Serie B. Going back to about what Emmett was saying about Avellino, I think on factor would be very important for Pescara to pick up points and their fans put on a show on Friday night.
Yeah.
Obviously, I know the, you know, pyrotechnics don't win your points, but they help create an atmosphere.
Yeah.
They made the effort and that's what counts.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see the opening ceremony, the Italian national anthem there. And again, we will stress a lot of Italians play in Serie B. Yeah. Not so much in Serie A, which our friend of the show, Adriano Del Monte, made a point of over the weekend, saying there was only 35% of the players used in Serie A were Italians. How can we expect Italy to consistently play well at international level if we're not actually breeding players at the top level? They're coming to Serie B and they're getting those minutes, and that's what's important, especially for us on DCTV.
Yeah.
We love it. And there's loads of clubs in Serie B which field a full Italian 11. And it's not all about staying close to home and only wanting to play Italians, but we need them to play somewhere, and we can't have them playing in Serie D and Serie C. They need to play at a decent level somewhere.
Yeah, well, I think Pescara would maybe be hoping that another Italian would play for them, the new half-owner, Marco Verratti.
Ooh, I'd love to see that.
He bought 50% of the club. You'd love to see him dust the boots off and help Pescara survive.
Yeah, maybe he can come back for the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Is he probably 33, 34 now?
32.
And he was part of Pescara's original sort of
with Immobile
trio there.
And Insigne.
I think he's still the youngest player in the history to make professional debut. So
yeah,
is he? Wow. Yeah. Well, you could see the talent from way back when they were in Serie B, and Immobile scored all those goals, and Insigne assisted all those goals.
The last installment of Zemlandia.
Zemlandia, yeah.
Let's go to Mantova, who have Davide Pozzanzini. Yeah,
they are flirting with disaster.
I think they're in trouble.
Yeah,
this
them and Reggiana, I think.
Yeah, they did get a couple of players in. Maia's come over from Cremonese. Castellini is there also, and Cesare Faletti, the Uruguayan playmaker. They've still got Leonardo Mancuso up forward. I think Mancuso, when he was at Empoli, scored against Juve and a winner there.
How old is Mancuso? I feel like he's been around a while.
32, 33.
Yeah.
He's one of those decent journeymen that changes.
Yeah.
They've still got some talent there. Mantovani, appropriately, is playing for Mantova, left Bari, and he's there, one of their defenders.
He can't leave. Because it's
you can't leave now, he's done.
I still think the Pozzanzini is their best striker.
You never know.
For those who are too young to remember, he was
class.
He was a really good striker.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, he played in an era where he was definitely a Serie B striker, but in today's Serie A, you'd probably get a good run there.
He goes for 50 mil today.
50 mil. Yeah. Pozzanzini. If you're listening, Davide.
A genuine move to Everton for 45 mil.
Emma will be your agent. There you go. Other sides, we've also got, just to make a note, we've got the Serie B standings and the fixtures on the destinationculture.com website. So go to the Serie B section. You will see that courtesy of our partnership with SofaScore. At the moment, Cesena's on top. We should talk about Cesena because Klinsmann is their goalkeeper. Yeah. You interviewed him last year and pulled off a fabulous save against Pescara at the death of that game to ensure. They brought in some new players. Blazer scored the opening goal. Yeah. Christian Spendi scored. And also their new signing, Dimitri Buzzoli, who was the former Brescia captain. They said goodbye to Serie B and everything else. Mm. They're back as Union Brescia, if you don't know. But Buzzoli is there. He scored on his competitive debut for the club for Serie B. And they won 3-1. So
they looked very impressive. They looked very professional.
They looked so good. Their transition play, their link-up play, everything was just sort of coming off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they've built on the strength of last season when they finished, you know, they sneaked into the playoffs. Yeah, they didn't advance, but they've built on it for the season. Yeah. And I think Cesena will be one to watch.
Yeah, I think with Cesena is because unlike some of the rivals who've signed a lot of players, they've made signings, but they haven't overhauled the squad.
Ex-Juve Frabotta.
Yeah. Same from West Brom.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're a club on the up. You know, Klinsmann told us that last season that he felt like everyone was sort of rowing in the same direction. And I mean, ultimately, it's hard for a club of Genoa's size to go straight up. Serie A.
Yeah.
Well, I love Simone Bastoni. I think he's really creative. He used to play left back in Serie A for Spezia, free kick taker. He can run that midfield. He used to play specifically at left back, and in his older age, he's moved into that sort of left, sort of mezzala position.
I think it was telling the last season when we went to speak to Klinsmann, he made the point that Mignani, the manager, said that the only way that we can compete after coming up from Serie C would be running harder, faster and for longer than other clubs because we don't have the quality to keep up with them.
And you can't outspend them. Exactly. So you have to outrun them.
But when you watch them against Pescara on Friday, they weren't doing much of the running. They knocked the ball about. They were like getting Pescara to a lot of the running.
They've come stepped up a level with the quality of the passing. Yeah. And that the transitions between the defensive third and just the way that they, and I know Pescara's a new side into Serie B, so they're going to take some time to gel. But the way that they were just all on the same page.
Yeah.
And that first goal with Blazer tucking home, they should have scored probably twice before that.
Yeah.
Some good saves from Desplanches. But they looked phenomenal. Yeah. And I think they're going to be a force. Of course, they're not going to come up against newly promoted sides every week, especially in the first weeks of the season. That's where you try and take advantage of the teams that come up from Serie C. Let's move on to predictions. Time to get out the crystal ball, Serie B lovers. We'll start it off with who is going to be automatically promoted up to Paradiso in Serie A. Emmett, we'll start with you.
Palermo.
And? The two.
Monza.
Okay, good. He knows his maths. Dan.
Palermo and Venezia.
I'm going with Venezia and Monza. So next up.
Oh, you're not going Palermo?
I think Palermo and Spezia will just trail them a little bit. Okay. And I think there's pressure there for people. But anyway, we'll move on. So playoffs. Let's go to playoffs.
Playoffs.
It doesn't have to be all six, but let's go back to that article that we've already written.
All right, so.
I'm going with Spezia, Modena, Monza, Empoli. And if push came to shove, Catanzaro and Bari.
I concur. I would say swap Monza or Venezia for Monza.
Okay. I think Palermo will finish third, Spezia fourth. Now, of course, the next four could be in any different random order, but Modena soaring up into the eight, possibly fifth. Empoli jostling with Frosinone, Juve, Stabia, Sampdoria and Cesena, sixth, seventh, eighth in there. There's probably nine teams I've named, but it'll be that core. Sampdoria, I guess, would be the surprise package there. Yeah. But we are going to get to surprise packages. So next up, it is who will be relegated?
Mantova, Reggiana and Vercentella plus. I want to say Pescara and Avellino are staying up, so I think the Padova are joining them going down with joining Vercentella going down. So Padova, Vercentella, Reggiana, and Mantova.
So I take those Antella, Reggiana, Mantova. I'm going to say Padova survived just purely because of Papu, and I'll say Pescara.
Okay, I'm going for Mantova and Pescara in the playout, which means. The remaining 13 sides in the last campaign, Sudtirol, Carrarese, Mantova stand out as the most likely to dip down. And my final three to go must be, I think Padova is going, I think Entella is going, and I think Sudtirol is going.
Sudtirol.
It's a big call, that one.
Forgot about Sudtirol.
Yeah.
Even though I'm wearing the shirt.
And again, it's shuffle the deck and see what happens because no one expected Salernitana and Sampdoria to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You could pick any six sides from the bottom of the table, you know, to drop down.
That's the beauty of Serie B. It's so competitive.
Exactly.
So Salernitana went down last season after coming down from Serie A. Benevent have done that. You never know.
Who's going to be the leading goal scorer? The Capo Cannoniere, the Pablito Award.
Joel Puyampalo.
Puyampalo, 100%.
Okay.
100%.
Is there any rival there?
Adorante, maybe.
I think, yes, Puyampalo is the leading candidate. But I think there might be a Monza player in there. If they're going to go back up, they need a goal scorer. And I think the most likely for me is Dani Motta.
Dani Motta. Outside shout.
Yeah, so get scoring, will you? To prove me right at the end of the season. And surprise packages, guys.
I'm going to go for Cesena.
Cesena?
Hang on. I was told off to pick Cesena in my article about surprise packages on the basis that they reached the playoffs last season and they were a surprise package by this very man. So I'm sorry, I'm not having Cesena. Okay. I'm picking Modena, by the way.
I'm picking Modena as well.
All right, I'll change.
This one we have.
Someone from outside of last season's top eight.
I'll go with Froz Annone.
Okay, yeah, I see that. I don't think they're a surprise package technically because they were in Serie A the season before, but still, yes. We'll give you that because they finished lower than 10th.
Yeah.
How about that?
They struggled last season.
Modena, Frosinone, it is the two sides that are known as the Canarini as well. So maybe the birds chirping their way up to Serie A. Good playoff in the playoffs. So
hopefully
it's
not a canary in a coal mine scenario for them.
Yeah. Well, Dan also has to go to the other extreme, doesn't he, with that one? Okay, let us know what you think in the comments to see if you agree with us. Perhaps you're a fan of another side and you want to tell us that we got it all wrong. Let us know, especially if it's Dan or Emmett. So remember, this season we're bringing you three live games of Serie B every single week on the Destination Calcio TV app. So make sure you download it for iOS and for Android. That is every single week, 38 weeks, plus the playoffs, guys, and the playout. So
long old slog.
Yeah, the long old slog. And stick with us, for we are the authority on Serie B. So we will have the website for you, all the news every single week, the previews as well for all the games written on DestinationCalcio.com.